He's a tough loss. Mendy is, I think the Mets got a great one. He's been a bridesmaid to many of these interviews. I cannot tell you the amount of feedback I've gotten from everyone he's interviewed with, which is, I cannot believe this guy hasn't got a manager job yet. Like, is this real? You know, he's obviously from Venezuela, speaks Spanish, speaks English. He's got structure. He's got process. He knows the game's fundamentals. He's been running our Major League Spring Training for years. He probably was taught by Rob Thompson how to run our camp when Rob was running before him. Knows analytics inside out. He's got discipline. He's not afraid to go at a player when necessary and when it's required. He's got a soft touch too at the same time. You know, I think he's a Swiss Army knife. I think the Mets got a really great baseball person. We've lost an asset that we're going to now have to replace. But I'm a Mendy fan, and I congratulate him. And, you know, so I thought that there was going to be a job for him already, but this is the one that was meant to be.
We're back, and joining me, old friend of the show. I got to tell you, I talk a little bit about nostalgia. One of the key components of NYBaseballDigest.com, defunct website amongst many of the defunct blogs. There's a graveyard out there with them. But a good friend, this guy, a wealth of baseball knowledge. I used to meet up with him down in Trenton back in the day when I would go watch the B-Mets. They used to be the B-Mets. They're the Rumble Ponies now. The Trenton Thunder, former affiliate of the New York Yankees. And, joining me is Jed Weisberger. Jed used to write for MLB.com, still does a little work there, minor league baseball. And Jed, welcome to the program. And you know what? When I was watching this whole managerial process play out with David Stearns of the Mets, and I saw Carlos Mendoza's name, going back, I'm like, I wonder if Jed and I ran into this individual at some point in Trenton. But I immediately went to you on Sunday because I kind of felt that this was going towards Mendoza. There was just so much smoke, and I said, hey, we got to get on and talk about this guy if he gets the job. And he got the job. And at least for me, I was excited because it gave a chance for us to catch up. But welcome to the program. Exciting, dynamic times for the New York Mets and a Yankees connection, as there was last couple of years with Billy Epler and Buck. So welcome to the program. How are you?
I'm glad to be here. All's good. I'm getting a little salt in my hair, but that happens when you get a little older. But
I just dye my hair, Jed. It's no different for me.
Redheads don't get gray. I've never dyed my hair. Anyway, you ask about Carlos. Do we ever run into him in Trenton? I don't think, Mike, you and me did at any time in Trenton. He was there when he was the minor league instructor. And the reason why they had him as a minor league instructor is he is very strong on defense, and he'll demand defense. But not saying not in a demanding way. He'll do it in a way where he'll convince a player, especially a younger player, it's better if you play defense. You're going to save runs and things like that. He's very good at doing that. As far as managerial stuff in the minors, I don't think we ever ran into him. I know I did in Charleston. Because, with Charleston, when they'd come to Lakewood back in the Sally League days. And what happened was we got down because we wanted to see all the prospects before Dave Fenster, my friend. He's an endodontist in Trenton. You might have met him. He liked to see all the prospects, and we liked to see him before they got to, back in the pinstripe prospect days and the MILB days, write about them and things like that. But we'd go to see the prospects when Charleston came up, usually for a three-game series. And Lakewood's only about an hour from where I am. So we get down there, and Stick and Ryan were always there. It was kind of fun because they were, Stick had a good time. He was a tremendous talent. They miss him. He was a tremendous talent evaluator, not just with the Yankees. He could see all kinds of stuff.
His mark is still on the Mets. Billy Epler being there and Buck being there, and I know that they're not there anymore. But Stick's legacy still goes on with Cashman and what have you. What they going on with the Yankees?
Yeah, I miss him. I mean, I really miss him because he was fun. I mean, Cashman would be talking about Severino would be out there, and Luis looks pretty good right now, you know, pitching a Class A. Yeah, he's got to develop a curveball. Stick would look at me just for fun, and he'd say, "Hey, Cashman, can you keep your mouth shut? I'm trying to work." You know, so we had a good time down there. But that's the way, you know, back in the Yankee days. I don't think they do. I don't know if they even do that now. We covered. We tried to get Charleston when they came up. We'd go up to Scranton, Wilkes-Barre, and things like that. You know, we had all the prospects pretty much tabbed for when they moved through. And Carlos and Charleston did very well because his team played good fundamental baseball. They knew how to bunt. They knew how to move runners over. He knows the game. He can see the reason he was made bench coach is just because of that. He knows the game and he can spot things. And he really helped Aaron with a lot of that stuff. And Aaron's going to miss him. I don't know who the new bench coach is going to be for the Yankees. And I also think that what the Mets will do is try to get a bench coach who's previously managed to help.
Hearing Phil Nevin's name may be thrown out there, former Yankees bench coach.
Well,
former
he
Angel
hasn't
manager.
Had a lot of success in Anaheim. It's not all his fault. I mean, the team is an absolute mess. You know, I mean, I don't see them signing Ohtani. I don't see Ohtani coming east either. I think he's going to end up with the Dodgers or Seattle, but we'll see. You know, maybe. Maybe the 12-year, $930 million contract, will pull him in here. We'll have to see what happens. But Carlos is a guy, just like Stephen Boyd in Cleveland with the Guardians. He's a guy who has worked real hard. He hasn't, it's not a big deal. Like, he's taking, like, for instance, you have Rob Thompson in Philly, and Rob's had some success. And Rob worked with the farm system. He worked as bench coach for Girardi. And Girardi originally took him to Philly because, you know, I don't know if he would have gotten a chance with the Yankees. Carlos from the same church, different pew, has worked like that, too, a lot of years. And he's terrific defensively. His teams play fundamentally sound. He gets along with his pitchers and things like that. And he's likes to talk to them and things like that, along with a pitching coach. I think for the Mets, they made a good choice because all the people were, you know, social media is today. It's much crazier than it was even 15 years ago when we fooled around with it.
Sure.
Now we have X amount of thousands of followers, and there's like 200 people out of the thousands that we care about. But
sure.
If somebody comes up with something legitimate, I'll talk to them about it. But anyway, you know, Threads is interesting, too. I mean, it's just developing, and we'll have to see how it develops with sports for the first full year. You know, it's for a while I thought it was a little friendlier, but now we're getting into all kinds of a dichotomy of wars and everything like that.
That's usually what social media devolves into.
Yeah, well, that's it. That's what I tell people. I mean, that's what I tell people on that. But, you know, it's no different than brothers arguing sports and things like that, really. It's just unfortunate that we got to get something settled over there. But that's another story. But I really think a key is going to be who they bring in as the bench coach. They've talked to Andy Green, if he's available. Phil Nevin has been brought up. Somebody who is previously a veteran manager, I think, would be a great help to Carlos in the beginning. I mean,
Jed, I, you know, one of the things that Cashman talked about, and I thought, and I played the clip in the first part of the show, you know, Cashman had this great, you know, media, you know, Cashman, who could be so kind of like bland, you know, he kind of got a little colorful here, but he did talk about Mendoza and he talked about his detail orientation, how he ran spring training, how he communicated with players, how he's not afraid to go and get in a player's face, something that is like, oh, my God, you can't do that anymore. He talked about how he knows analytics. There's been reports about how he's pushed back against analytics. Here's the biggest thing, Jed. He, and you know this, having seen him down in Charleston, but all the different positions he's had going up to the point where he's the bench coach for the Yankees, it's – you know, he's actually done the traditional path. I think it was either Andy Martino or John Heyman who brought that up. Yeah. And I'm saying to myself, that's an overlooked thing. He's more qualified to be the Mets manager than a Carlos Beltran was a few years ago.
Absolutely.
You know, and even more qualified than an AJ Hinch was when he got the job in Arizona. So I think that's a little bit of an overlooked component. And I didn't even think of that. And when it came up, I was like, you know, you're they're right.
They are right. I mean, they are right. And you talk about him getting in a player's face. He knows how to do it without a negative reaction. You know, it's like telling, it's like what he does. He'll tell somebody, what you're doing is good, but maybe we can add this to this. He's not the kind of guy who goes up to a player and says, well, what you're doing, I don't know. It's okay, but you should do this. And, you know, with today's players, and even as you know, in the workplace today, with everything so politically correct, I mean, I
can't do that. It's very hard.
I have to say, well, that's great. You know, I said, Cindy, you did a great job with that, but maybe we could add this to it and we'll really have something going. You know what I mean? Like, you can't tell somebody they should do this and you can't tell somebody they don't do good work with this. It's, you know, it's not just being politically correct. It's just things of Gen Z. When you're working with people that are Gen Z and things like that, not too much millennials, because my son, for example, Jay's like going to be 45. They're getting
a year younger than me. I think I'm Gen X at this point. I don't know. I can't figure it out. You know, well,
you never know. But I mean, the point is, you know, the point is you almost have to treat people with kid gloves in a way, no matter whether you're Carlos Mendoza with the Mets, you're Aaron, you know, you're this or that. I mean, that's just the way it is. I mean, when you're dealing with 21, 22-year-old superstars or 26-year-old superstars, you want to keep raccoons out of the clubhouse. That's important. I mean, what Carlos has to do, the two main things he has to do is make sure the clubhouse is settled. And his bench coach will help him with a lot of that, you know, getting to know the guys.
Sure.
And getting the players to trust him. That's the first thing. He's got to get that done in spring training, which I'm sure he will. And the other thing he has to do is handle the bullpen and the pitching staff, especially the bullpen, because it's tougher now with each guy, each, you know, reliever having to face three batters. You have to strategize a lot more. And you got to know when to use guys. With relievers, you got to know when to push their buttons a little bit, then back off a little bit. I remember Gabe Kaplan when he started out in Philly. A lot of my MLB.com work, because I'm close to Philly, was covering the Phillies, which was something different. I did some Yankees and Mets, but I mostly did a lot of the Phillies. And when Gabe was starting off, he's telling me about one player who was a star, you know, and he wasn't playing as much because his defense in center field wasn't as good. So Gabe sat down with him. He went out and worked with him in center field, had balls hit to him and things like that. And you really have to, when you get into a guy's head who's a younger player, even though he may be very talented and dominated the minors, you have to really be constructive in what you're doing, because a lot of, you know, you see that with you know, Zach Wilson, I feel bad about, but he's a BYU quarterback. Where there's another example where the competition isn't great, so they draft him second because they love his arms, you know, strength, and he had a great combine where nobody was, you know, running in his face and rushing him and everything like that. Is he ready to play in the NFL? Absolutely not, unfortunately. But, you know, I don't know whether the Jets, you know, have been inconsistent with him. You can't be inconsistent. I mean, that's a problem. I mean, but there the plan would have worked as long as Aaron Rodgers didn't get hurt. But you see the kid last night against a team playing against the Jets defense they should have beaten. And he was just, you know, fumbles, overthrows, everything like that. I mean, Kenny Pickett in Pittsburgh, you know, he's consistent, but he has his days and games too. But I mean, the treatment of Kenny Pickett has been totally different. You know, I mean, it's all been constructive. But Kenny Pickett also has been helped by a receiver, you know, George Pickens, who's a coming star, and Dante Johnson, who runs the best routes in the league, and that's helped him. And Tomlin knows how to coach, and that's why they're 5-3, even though they can't score half the time. But, you know, the point being, again, you got to be constructive today, and Carlos has that quality. I mean, like we talked about getting in a player's face. He'll get in a player's face, but he'll do it in a way, like I mentioned, that the player doesn't go away upset, because that's the last thing you want, because if one guy's upset in the clubhouse, then the next guy's upset in the clubhouse, and that's what he's got to do. I mean, his challenges are his challenges will be like get Lindor to trust him. I think Pete is going to be okay. Pete's okay with anybody. I wish they'd give him an extension already and stop the nonsense. But it's, because it's not going to be like Judge. If Pete goes to free agency, he's gone.
Hmm. Interesting. Interesting thought. Why do you think that, Jed?
Because I think he'll go. Judge. They both came up through systems, but I think with what some of the stuff Pete's gone through with the Mets, I could see him, leaving. I could see Steve coming in at the end, like George once did with Bernie in the Red Sox, and said, "You're not going to the Red Sox. You want this? We'll give you this, and we're glad to have you for a career." We'll see what happens. It's going to be interesting, but I still would try to sign him before the season or over the winter.
Jed, how do you think, you're exactly right. I talk about it all the time, managing the clubhouse, managing the bullpen, obviously to get hired, there has to be ability to manage up to your boss, but he's going to be the face of the franchise to the media, to the fans every night, twice, SNY, pregame, postgame. And a lot of times that could swallow somebody up, swallowed Mickey Callaway up, started to swallow Luis Rojas up. Yeah. Buck did a really good job, but remember, Buck had cachet and a resume, and he was very rarely going to be challenged, even when maybe he was wrong, because of that resume, and Buck was an alpha, and he would go back at them. So they were afraid of Buck. Let's face it. The media was afraid. They're going to test this guy, and he's going to make bad moves, or he's going to make questionable moves. How do you think he'll handle that part? Because even though that shouldn't matter, the media and the fans don't hire and fire. It starts to develop a narrative, and it circles the team in the clubhouse. And sometimes it becomes really hard to put out what I would call that peripheral noise that's out there.
I think he'll do okay. The first thing is the advantage he has over Mickey Callaway, and Mickey Callaway is a pitching coach. I never understood that, but then the organization was what it was then. But the first thing with Carlos is he's a good looking guy. He's a straight shooter. Espanol no problema por Carlos, I speak it too, but I mean, he's bilingual. He'll take care of both media. If somebody comes at him like Licata or somebody like that or somebody else, he'll take a deep breath and he'll try to explain himself. That's how he always did it when talking to the media, even in the minors. I mean, it can get to you, but I don't see him being swallowed up by Mickey Callaway or Luis Rojas. Luis is a nice guy, too. I like him. But I think they brought him in there, and I think Steve Cohen and I think Stearns hopes that he's the manager for 10 years, and we'll see what happens.
They need that. I mean, Jed, it's been a long time. I mean, you had since Davey Johnson, and you had Bobby V for a nice run, and obviously Terry Collins and what happened there. It's been a lot of fits and starts. And, look, I've been the biggest proponent going back to when Terry was fired about bringing in a top-notch manager, a Buck, a Dusty Baker. I wanted Girardi after the 2019 season. That didn't work out. Boche looked like he was out of the mix, and now he's back in, wins a championship in Texas. But at some point, those guys are going to retire. At some point, you need the next wave. And my concern has been because they've de-emphasized the managerial job. Maybe council is changing that with what happened with him in Chicago. Jimmy Leland was a nobody at one point. David Johnson was a nobody. Dusty Baker was a nobody. They were first-time managers. Tito Francona, a nobody, a former player, but a nobody. We need the next wave of those guys. Is Mendoza one of those guys? I mean, clearly council might be. He's still a relatively young guy. And with Council getting the big contract, which is ironic, the Cubs, who with Epstein started this, the manager is not important, with Tito, and which is funny because Epstein was an analytics guy, not like Bean, but he had two big time managers in Joe Maddon and Tito Francona. Maybe the worm is turning a little bit where the manager matters. It matters more than maybe we give them credit for.
Well, both Tito, who I know well, who lived in Yardley when he managed the Phillies, about a mile from me, Yardley, Pennsylvania, in Bucks County, and Maddon. Both Tito and Maddon were into the analytics a lot, especially Maddon when he was with Tampa Bay, and he did such a great job.
And now he's not. Think about that. Now he's critical of it. Now amazing, right?
Well, the analytics. I mean, the analytics can help. I mean, the analytics are there to send a sheet down and have the manager talk to a player. Now, you've always done well against Sonny Gray, so we want that to continue. Do you have any idea why you do well against Sonny Gray? And the player might say, well, I can always pick up his inside curve and stuff like that, which a lot of guys can't. Well, then he's probably going to throw you a lot of those because that's his top pitch. The point being, that's pretty simple. But the point is, the analytics are there to try to help people. Now, I don't know what Mike did with the Yankees. I'm not with them, and I wasn't privy to that. But if the analytics aren't helping, I will say that. If they're hindering, the analytics have to be adjusted, and I think that's what they're doing. And with any team, I mean, everybody praises Atlanta because they have great analytics. They also have great young players, and they win. But analytics has a place, but analytics does not replace talent.
And think about it, Jed, you had that story that came out. And this is where I actually was disappointed a little bit as I read more about Billy Epler as his term came to an end. You know, when Billy Epler was hired and maybe he was shoehorned in and maybe he was the only one that wanted the job, you thought you were getting the best of both worlds. You were getting someone who learned at the knee of Stick Michael. You mentioned him earlier. I know Joe Torre was critical of Epler in his book, you know, because Epler was kind of that first wave of Yankees analytics guys back at the beginning of the revolution. But I never thought of him as that guy. And then as the more I heard him talk, you know, the probabilistic outcomes, and he was not a very charismatic guy with the media. And then you hear, you know, Buck is being handed down these, you know, probabilistic, you know, almost AI generated. Well, Tommy Pham, you're not playing even though you're hitting 400 against this pitcher because they played the game out in the front office and the game is going to play out like this based on our software. And, you know, disseminating that information to a player is impossible. And it sounded like Buck really wasn't comfortable doing it. He tried. This is the Newsday story. But he wasn't comfortable with it. Now, is Stearns going to be like that? I don't know. You know, Epler's not there anymore. But it really drives me crazy because, to me, the clubhouse should be the manager's sanctum. You could be at the table and work with Stearns and be this, you know, cabinet, and then go down into the clubhouse and be part of that group. But thinking back, you know, one of the biggest controversies the Mets had back in the 90s, turn of the century, is that Bobby V didn't want Steve Phillips in the clubhouse. They didn't get along on that. And even with Joe Torre and Cashman, I think it was more there was separation of church and state, so to speak. You know, I don't know how Stearns is going to be, but I'm hoping that a Mendoza is not Gabe Kapler or not Carlos Marmol or one of these guys that seems to be, you know, just there. And, you know, it's like they're part of the front office and all they do is reading a script because players see through that. Need to be more than that.
Well, having known Gabe Kapler pretty well, having covered him with the Phillies and having dealt with Carlos, two totally different people.
Sure.
Totally different people. Gabe bought into the analytics with the Phillies because they tried to use it. You know, now with Rob, you know, you understand, you know how Dombrowski works. There's no analytics there at all.
And a lot of people say Thompson is and Mendoza are similar. I mean, even Cashman intimated to that.
They are similar. I think Carlos is Rob is more of a private, quiet, laid back person, you know, with the media than Carlos might be. But they both know baseball. They both stress defense. You know, I mean, you know, like take this year with Rob. I mean, Matt Vierling was supposed to be an up and coming center fielder in their system. And he played, Girardi played him a lot. Rob let Matt Vierling go and he put Rojas in center field. Rojas's bat has to come along. But if you watch the playoffs, look at the catches he made out there. Look at his arm. I mean, you know, Rob knows what he's doing. I like him more as the Phillies manager right now. I think a lot of pressure that he felt with the Yankees is off his shoulders, and he's had some success there. And I think, he has some success in Philly, no matter what happens, and until you lose the last game, they're going to be with you. You know, and he did a nice job this year. And they are similar. They are similar that they worked with the farm system, both with the Yankees, obviously, and you know, they put it this way. Maybe their master's degree and doctorate degree in managing came from the same place. I would agree with that.
Yep, absolutely. Jed Weisberger, a friend of mine, we spent a lot of time down in Trenton. I'm thinking as we talk those weekend nights watching the B-Mets, and I'm going to share a quick fun story that Jed and I'm going to share the Brian Bruni story. Jed remembers that afternoon, K-Rod, Brian Bruni, and things like that. But I want to get to one other quick thing. You know, you're a guy who covered the Pirates, you know, the We Are Family, you know, Chuck Tanner, the manager. You know, you were around when Billy Martin was a manager. You know, managers were colorful. You know, Davey Johnson, I think recently he was talking to Bob Clappish. He doesn't think he'd last a week in today's game. And Davey was just managing about a decade ago, then watching the Nationals.
Yeah.
You know, spitball guy. I remember Davey getting mad at me at Mets Hall of Fame Day because I suggested he overpitched Doc his first 2 years in the major leagues. But, you know, what do you think now? I mean, if you get the right guy, can they be as impactful and have the same kind of clubhouse as they did back in the days when you covered teams? Or is it completely over? Can we see it swing back? Is Boche winning going to make it swing back? Is Dusty Baker's success going to make it swing back? Can guys like Stearns put their ego aside and understand that, you know, it's not just about you? It's not Strat-O-Matic baseball where we're sitting here hitting a button. What do you think?
I think, we'll put it this way. Why was Dusty hired? To settle things down in the clubhouse.
Yep. After tough spot. Give Dusty credit. That was a horrible situation. Pandemic, off the field stuff. And he was wildly successful. And they won a title.
I thought they'd win it again. But Boche managed in Texas, they were better.
Yep.
I mean, Jordan Montgomery's going to get 5 years, $120 million. Hard to believe.
Yep. I think the Mets should sign him. What do you think, Jed? I would sign Montgomery for 5 year deal.
Should sign him. I think the Yankees should consider bringing.
Are
him
you
back.
Are you surprised? Are you surprised at his success?
No, because you know he needed two things. He needed a slight adjustment in his control with his curveball, and he needed a team that could score for him. He got the slight adjustment with a little bit of tinkering. It worked better in Texas than in St. Louis. He had some tough go of it in St. Louis. But, St. Louis wouldn't have traded him away after less than a year. If I know the Cardinal organization pretty well. But then, like I said, Dusty was there to straighten things out and settle things down. Carlos, to a great degree, was hired to settle things down and keep things going cool and running well. And I see no problem with him in the clubhouse. If it is, he'll get it settled and Stearns will help him get it settled. I don't think there's too many. I don't think there's too many ludicrous personalities on the Mets. I really don't. I mean, Lindor came there and he likes playing there. I don't see any real problems. I mean, the Mets failed. What failed this year were injuries and a bad bullpen. I mean, the Mets got to straighten out their bullpen and a little bit their rotation. I mean, I think Yamamoto is going to end up in New York with either team because they're both going to go after him hard and they both need him. I mean, I saw a thing, I forget where I saw it the other day where the Mets might consider Sonny Gray. I wouldn't consider Sonny Gray in New York at all. He pitches great every place else, but maybe in Citi Field, he's better in Yankee Stadium. I mean, he's been a decent pitcher in Cincinnati. He was okay. In Minnesota, he was really good this year.
And he's a Connecticut guy, so it's not like he's not from the Northeast. And maybe it's a Kenny Rogers. You know, everybody gets mad at Kenny Rogers and the walk to Andrew Jones, but without Kenny Rogers, the 99 Mets don't make the playoffs, and he pitched pretty good. And maybe he wasn't built, you know. But Tom Verducci, I believe, wrote the SI piece. This has become a tough job, Jed. Mickey Callaway's career, other reasons why it got swallowed up, but it was swallowed up before that. I don't know what's going to happen to Luis Rojas after the failure. Jerry Manuel fizzled out. Willie Randolph fizzled out after getting fired. You know, Art Howe is never the same. Jeff Torborg, you don't want to go back to Jeff Torborg and Buddy Harrelson. Swallowed them up. This is a place that can swallow you up and your career goes to die. And that was cited as one of the things that Council thought about. Now, look, Council got his dream job. He got the Cubs. He got the Midwest. He got $40 million.
Mike, he wasn't coming here anyway.
And that's the thing, you know, the yelling and the screaming and Stearns did this and Cohen's a failure. Look, at the end of the day, this place is not for everybody. It may be a cool place for Jed Weisberger. It may be a cool place for Mike Silva. But guess what, Jed? Not everybody wants to hear you and I talk about them. Not everybody wants to hear Sal Licata. Not everybody wants to deal with Joel Sherman. Think about what Girardi, you know, and I said this to Klappish when I talked to Klappish. Between Klappish, I talked to Kernan. Girardi's first couple of years was brutal, Jed. Brutal. Yeah. And he won a title. He won a title. And think about how many times, you know, you and I were down in Trenton. We used to talk about it. You know, the binder Joe and how hard it was for him. And he lasted. But Girardi played here. Council didn't. And that might have been Council. I mean, Sherman already said how Council could be prickly in big scrums. Look, did I want him? Yeah, I think he's the best manager out there. And I thought the Mets needed that cachet of that. But there's nothing about the process. There's nothing about the characteristics of Mendoza that concerns me. Now, can he be successful? I don't know.
We don't know.
We don't know. Luis Rojas had a lot of good characteristics. And look what happened. You know? Yeah. So.
Can Mendoza be successful? All I can say is the learning curve, and Rob Thompson is a good comparison. They've had the same learning curve, and Rob's been successful, where Girardi wasn't in Philadelphia.
Yep. So I got to share a quick story. So Jed and I are covering, I think Brian Bruni was having a rehab start. I still remember this day. Adam Rubin was there. You remember this? We were there. Oh. It's a Saturday. Ironically, the B Mets are in town, so I think Josh Tolle was covering for the catching for the Mets, the B Mets. Dylan G pitched the shutout that day, and I remember you telling me, "You know, this kid's going to be a decent pitcher." I think Dylan G, if he didn't get hurt, would have had a better career if he didn't have the capsule issues. So we go to interview Bruni, and we're talking, and we're just casually talking, and Ruben leaves. So Ruben's out; he goes and leaves because he's getting bored. So this is the night after Castillo drops the pop ups during the Subway Series.
Yeah.
And I don't know, it was you that asked the question, or Josh Norris, who wrote for the one of the Trenton papers, or Mike Ashmore.
Yeah.
I can't remember who asked the question. I'm standing with my recorder, and they go, "What did you think of last night with Castillo dropping the pop up?" That you know, everybody remembers Castillo drops the pop up, A-Rod, Mets lose in the ninth inning of the drop pop up. And Bruni goes, "Couldn't happen to a nicer guy." And he does like the K-Rod point. He does the jig. And I'm like, oh, now I'm like, whoa. And he's talking major, major trash. Now, this is the infancy of Twitter. You know, I have probably, you know, 500 followers. And I, you know, we get the recording. You start talking to Bruni, and Bruni just kept saying how happy he was that, because they hated K-Rod. The Yankees were like annoyed. This is 2010. I think it was 2009 or 2010. I can't remember which. I think it was 2009, probably the championship year. I can't remember. So we run. I run to get Ruben, and you know, I send Matt Cerrone, Mets blog, the information. I have all the things I'm tweeting. I have the audio. I still have the audio somewhere in my computer. I can play it to this day. And they SNY picks up the story. They get into a fight the next day. Remember they got into the fight in the Sunday game in the outfield? Nobody credits Jed Weisberger. Nobody credits Mike Silva. They steal. I am the only one to this day that has the audio of Brian Bruni going off on K-Rod. Nobody's ever given me credit. And you and I were the only ones. And we stuck around. Ruben kicked out. Ruben was writing for the Daily News at that time. Or no, ESPN New York, one of those. And, I still remember that to this day. That's my Jed Weisberger memory of you and I at Trenton Thunder game.
In that series, this is funny. I was with a friend of mine who was a big Mets fan, Mark. And we go to, so we went the day before that. And Robinson Chirinos was with the Mets in the Mets system. It's nothing in the ninth inning. And Chirinos starts coming down from third base for no reason at all. Gianna Navarro sees him, throws him out. The guy who's on second tries to go to third. It messes up their whole inning.
Wow.
And Trenton comes back and beats them.
Right.
Tony Franklin. See, in the first game, and another game that they played in one of those series, they had, you know, that was with Pulsifer. They had a four-nothing 4-0 lead going into the ninth. Pulsifer wanted to stay out there.
That's going, now we're going way back, right?
Going way back. So Shelly Duncan tells me that he can hit Pulsifer. Falsifer reads this in the Trenton Times and wants to know before the game, who's Shelly Duncan? I said, he's a good guy. He's now a manager and everything like that in AAA. He does Scranton Wilkes-Barre. So Shelly thought he was tipping his pitches, but he said, don't put that in the paper. Turns out he was. So they get two guys on, and Angel Christo hits a double, you know, backup infielder. It's 4-2. Falsifer walks two guys. Shelly comes up, left field wall. See ya.
There you go, right?
Yeah, I mean, I'm happy for the Rumble Ponies this year. They've got their attendance up to like 2,800 a game, which is good for
them. They got some, and with Gilbert and with Acuna and some of the young arms, the Mets have some interesting young players. Yeah. You know, it's a shame, you know, obviously Trenton is no longer a Yankees affiliate. You know, Somerset is another good town. You know, they're good people in the Trenton. It was a good ballpark. You know, Chase, the Golden Thunder, the dog, bat dog, you know, always hospitable to me. You know, more hospitable to me than the Mets, to be honest with you.
They were just as good as a Blue Jays affiliate. That was fun.
Yep, that was fun.
Trenton Thunder guys with beards and everything.
Yeah, yeah. So, Jed, what do you got going on? What is next for you? You're going to be just watching some baseball, watching the off-season, things like that?
I'm watching the off-season things. If I think something's on Twitter that I need to put on there. The problem is at this point, I ignore all the guys that want to think they'll sign everybody and this and that. But, you know, Twitter's changed too. It's hostile. Right now, I still do some writing for a few places, non-sports writing for a few places. At this point, I'd rather work remotely than be home. I mean, after COVID, I couldn't wait to get back into the office with the state of New Jersey.
But, sure.
Right now, I'm just working at home. Things are good. Trying to decide. A friend of mine, a guy came to garage door maintenance today. You know, just check once a year, check the springs, check the chain and everything like that. Make sure our remotes are working right and all that. And he said, what are you doing? I said, I'm getting close to retiring. You think by the end of the year? I said, maybe not the end of the year, but it could be pretty soon after that. See what happens when you get to be, see how much, you know, we had a lot of fun. We still can, like with this show, but see what it comes. You're going to be 71. I mean, I feel great. I mean, that's not the problem, but I mean, see if you really feel like wanting to run around, you know?
No, I hear you. I hear you. It's a grind.
I mean, you got a great wife, and that's I'm thrilled for you there. And you guys have a lot. You're having a lot of fun, which you should.
Absolutely.
You
know? Absolutely.
That's what matters.
That's what matters. But you know what? What matters is the friends I've made. You know, everybody, and I'll leave you with this. You know, X, Twitter, whatever you want to call it, social media. You can meet a lot of good people.
Oh, yeah.
You are one of the good people. I learn a lot from you. I knew you'd give us a good segment on Mendoza. Be well, and I'm sure we'll catch up again. And thanks so much for tonight.
Not a problem. Thanks for having me on. And I still go to games in the summer, so we'll see what happens. You know, see what happens when the Mets are playing the Phillies. Come on down. You know what I mean?
We'll get a chance to go to Citizens Bank Park. I'll wear a Mets hat, and they'll throw me out of the ballpark.
They're not that bad. But you ever been to that park? It's a beautiful
park. I've been to the Vet. I've never been to Citizens Bank Park, but I have to.
It's a great park to work in. The food is tremendous. A beautiful park. As my friend Rick Freeman says, who's a longtime Philly fan, just retired as a teacher. I work with him at the Times. He got into teaching Hamilton East High. He said, still hard to believe the park's in Philly.
I know. Well, Jed, listen, you've been a gentleman, a very generous time. Thanks for everything. Let's talk again soon, my friend.
Yeah. Take care. Well. Keep in touch.
That's Jed Weisberger. You could check him out on X. And, you know, he still kind of does his thing. Great contributor to the old NYBD site, nybaseballdigest.com. Well, that's it. Hope you enjoyed this two-part show. We dived into Mendoza, you know, had a chance to get to know him a little bit, somebody who saw him in the minor leagues. You heard from Brian Cashman, the audio earlier. I gave you my thoughts. So now, press conference and on to the offseason, and let's see what David Stearns is going to do. We'll be back with another edition of the show on Sunday. Stearns talked a little bit about the GM meetings, his plan for the offseason. I'll get into that. Obviously, you got the newsletter. Continue to check that out. And, you know, substack.com/@TalkingMetsNoG and all that other fun stuff. So want to thank everybody for joining another edition of the Talking Mets podcast. You can check me out all the time at the TalkingMetsPodcast.com. Send me a tweet @MikeSilvaMedia, and just trying to put podcasts, Spotify, pretty much whatever podcasting service you desire. If you want to interact with me, Mike Silvat, TalkingMetsPodcast.com. No G, Mike Silvat, TalkingMetsPodcast.com. You can get me on Instagram, TalkingMets, no G. And of course, check out the newsletter, Substack.com/@TalkingMetsNoG. I am your host, Mike Silva. Enjoy the rest of your week. We'll be back on Sunday with another edition of the show. Till then, take care, everybody.